Rabbi, so we discussed yesterday some ilchas chatzitz. We're going to be delving into further halachas. I was very intrigued by Gideon's question yesterday. I haven't got an answer yet, but we're going to have to think about this as well. Rabbi, so we discussed yesterday was chatzitza. A person has to ensure that there should be no chatzitza between the tefillin and the skin. The Ramah talks about the ritzuos. I want to add something before we proceed with Sif Hey. I want to add over here a mishtabu which is important for us to see. The Ramah says, "Ritzuos, you don't have to be makbid about ritzuos." It's important to clarify this. What does it mean? You don't have to worry about chatzitza when it comes to ritzuos. Is that true? Only by the bais you have to worry about the chatzitza, but when it comes to ritzuos, you don't have to worry about chatzitza. How can the Ramah say that? For dafka b'tefillin, but ritzuos ein lehakpid. These are the words of the Ramah. No. But what does he mean? But with ritzuos, you don't have to worry.
If one goes on the other one.
Yeah, that's true because it's min b'mino. That's not chotzeit. That's correct. A tefillin it cannot be chotzeit on itself. That's true. But no, so what he means says the Mishnah Berurah have gotten to Zion as follows, first wide line in some editions. No. What it's talking about, the krichos. Krichos is literally translated as the wrappings. The wrappings. The wrappings are non-essential. It's good, it's nice, it's great. And we've discussed it previously that it's not even, you know, in what context do we see the krichos are not the main part of the mitzvah? In what context do we see that? Exactly, with the bocha, that some people, Shulchan Aruch says, you put it up, you put tefillin shaliyat, and then you make the bocha, and then you go straight for tefillin shaliyat, and then you do the kichos, in order to avoid having a hefsek, an interruption. So that teaches us that the kichos is not really essential. Same here now, it says that, when we say, you don't have to worry about chitzitza, and chitzitza doesn't matter so much, that's only with regards to the kichos. Essential with regards to the kshira, the tying, which is really the essential part of the putting on tefillin. That's, of course, you've got to be makbid on chatzitza as well. So, if you've got over here, which is really essential, you tell it that's a part of the kshira of the tefillin, whether it's on the bais, underneath the bais, or whether it's underneath the ratuas, either way, you've got to be makbid not to have chatzitza there. Yesh lachmi af b'ritzuos bein b'shal yad, whether it's tefillin shel yad, bein b'shal rosh, or whether tefillin shel rosh. Yeah. Now the poskim do say that when it comes to the tefillin shel rosh, when you've got the that bit over here, that inevitably you're gonna have chatzitza there, and that's okay. But what we got to be particularly careful is the mokum akshira that. A person should be really, really, really careful. Well, that leads us, if the kichos, of course, chatchila kichos, you also should be careful, but it's not makom b'dieved. It just teaches us something about the wristwatch. So in theory, I saw the person speaking about it, in theory, you don't see people doing it so much, but in theory, you used to keep the watch on? Yeah, right, okay, that's based on the Mishnah Berurah, yeah, absolutely, yeah. So you don't really see so many people being lenient, but it's fine, because we're just saying now that there's no... Ramah says, "Avol b'ritzuos ein lehakpid." You don't have to worry about ritzuos chatzitza. So, only the part of the Mogen Mashiach. Now, the Mishnah Berurah carries on, and says as follows, "V'kosu toichachas megula." Mishnah Berurah says on the second white line, we've got to make sure that there's something seriously wrong over here. Al amanichin atfilin, the people who put on tefillin, al gabe peonochis. People who put on tefillin on top of their peonochis, on top of their wigs. Hanikra called peruke, which is, it's a shine, yeah, that's right, a wig. Yeah, that's right. But people have got some, when they've gotten tezayin in Mishnah Berurah. So he says, you've got a problem here, you've got to take off your wig before you put on tefillin. It's good to know. And Mishnah Berurah says that a person who would put on tefillin on top of that would be a problem even makiv.
Even if he always wears it.
Even if he always wears it, yeah. Now,
because there was someone I know who used to do that. He did what? Attack her. So what they do is that what they do say, I saw the person speaking about it, is that a person is really, really, really embarrassed about taking off his wig. So the advice is, you can't, you know, you don't feel that taking it off in shul and all that. It's really embarrassing to be, it's really embarrassing to be bald, kind of. So what the person can say is that if a person really, really wants to keep on wearing, so what he should do is he should put on tefillin at home, betzina, and put on tefillin with a bocher like that, and after it's in shul, he can put it on like that. There is a problem of virus, which we'll be discussing a little bit later. But I do want to mention here, perhaps, because the person don't have discussed on this Mishnah over here, before we proceed with Sifei, the question of a cast. Person has got breaks his arm, and it's in a cast. It's a masim. I can't say masim shebuchal yoim, but it is common. So what do you do at what do you do about tefillin? Is that point putting on tefillin around the cast? Yeah, without a bracha, with a bracha. Let's say, yeah. Because of course you're right. If it would be only partial, then the question is not a good question. You just put it on where you know. You know what? Keep this open for now. Let's see, Steve. Hey, and let's see if that's going to give us a bit of a.
Say that someone who was left hander or right hander becomes a left hander.
Yeah, that's true. Mishmuel later on tells us it's true. We're going to learn later about in Sivov about left handed and right handed people that if a person becomes temporarily a left-handed person, if he really becomes temporarily a left-handed person, you go according to that. This can change. So if a person really has but he really becomes left-handed, meaning that he does it properly.
Not just breaks his arm.
Yeah, it's
he
really.
He breaks his arm and the whole thing's in the cast.
Yeah.
Is he now called a.
No, he probably isn't called because of that per se. But if he becomes a left-handed, if a person is trained to use, if a person, cholila, I mean people who are cholila, people who have got strokes, for instance, something like that, you know, people get very weak on one particular side, on one particular arm, or think people have, you know, so that would be considered that. Okay, let's see if they want to address the cast after that. Adam shu olal nezilas. Now, basically, what this case is talking about, is there's some liquid emerging from, I don't exactly know what the medical term for that is, but it's something that a person has got liquid emerging from his head. Adam shu olal nezilas. It's a certain illness, and there's liquid coming out from his head. Ve'im yitzarech laniach tefillah shel roish. If you were to put on tefillin shel rosh al besoroi on his physical on his head, lo yanicham kah, he's not able. He can't put it there. It's not just sweat. It's literally you know, he's ill and there's a lot of liquid emerging from there. He cannot put on tefillin on his head. He cannot physically do that. And therefore, if he were to put his tefillin there, he's not going to do it. Therefore, yesh tahat eloy leaniach tefillah shel rosh. We have to allow him, and we do allow him to put on the tefillin shel rosh al hakoiva dak hasamuch leroish. He's got some sort of, I don't know if it's a koiva, a hat in the literal sense. I think it's more like a bandage, a cover, something that covers his head. A dak, which is a thin layer, hasamuch leroish, which is touching and on his skin. But he should, after that, after having his tefillin, so he can put the tefillin on kind of the bandage, on kind of the, not physically on the skin, but there's something in between the tefillin and his skin, because that's the condition that he has. But what the Shulchan Aruch does add is, you should cover up the tefillin afterwards because of the bystanders. In other words, we call it, how do we call it? Marizain. Because the person next door is like, hey, look, he's putting tefillin on to something, not on his skin, but the tefillin is on top of that. So chatzit is not a problem, and tomorrow he's going to put on tefillin, not worry about chatzit. So therefore, there's a problem with Marizain. Somebody puts on tefillin
in such a manner, he should not make a bracha. Rak only yivorech al sheliat lehoniach. He should only say the bracha of lehoniach, and he is unable to make the bracha on al mitzvahs, which normally would be said in a conventional situation on the tefillin shelos. But here there is a chatzitza, and therefore he's fine to put it on in kind of mitzvah, but he shouldn't recite the bracha. What's the background? How can you do that? Yes, absolutely. But the Shulchan Aruch clearly is telling us is yoitz in some way. How can you be yoitz by putting on tefillin on top of a layer on a bandage? How can you be yoitz? So Mishbu explains that with a very interesting opinion. Pardon? Oh, so we're going to get to that svar you're saying shortly. The Mishbu says over here, in Seif Cotton, let's just do Seif Cotton Yudzayin. First, Alul Nezilis Perish, Sheyesh Le Machoiv, he's got an illness, he's got some sort of illness, some sort of condition on his head. And if he were to open up, to reveal his head, Yazik lo yakirius, the cold is going to make him even more ill. Kimenshu onus, it's not just a little bit of a subtle uncomfortableness. No, it's going to cause. He's ill. He can't do it. So he's onus yochel. It's an onus. He's got an option. It really is a serious condition. Kivan shu onus yochel lismoich al Rashba. He is allowed to be lenient and rely on the opinion of the Rashba, the Svirelei, who holds the ein chashash bechatzitza. There is no problem with the Rashba holds. There is no chatzitza. No chatzitza. No problem with chatzitza. The pasuk says bein enecha. How can you say no chitzitza? Bein enecha means it's got to be on your forehead. Bein enecha. He said no. You got it wrong. That's just telling you the place. It doesn't mean it's got to be on your skin. He's just telling you it's got to be bein enecha on your forehead on that particular place. So it's not telling you anything about chitzitza. Rather, it's telling you it's the correct place of the position of the tefillin. So therefore, we're lenient with this opinion that the Rashi holds is no problem chatzitza. Therefore, so what does that give us? That if a person is an oinus, he's allowed to be lenient, like the opinion of the Rashi. So therefore, going back to the that's what we're learning over here. Okay, no choice, go with the Rashi, no problem chatzitza. So therefore, going back to the cast. Probably if somebody chas v'shalom broke his arm, and it's fully covered. Let's say, yeah, because if it would be reeled on the top, then obviously you can put on tefillin there. No, not by the shoulder. But I'm saying if there's any area of the muscle of the raised area which would be uncovered, you could certainly be relying on the Vilna Gaon and put on tefillin there. So I'm assuming that's we're going in if somebody broke his arm all the way up to pretty much his shoulder. And is the Vilna Gaon's area is covered? No, that's just for the rabbi. That's not you're not making the mitzvah like that. That's just the kichos are there. It's not mokam anochas tefillin. It's not. So what would you say, Rabbi Yisrael, based on what we're seeing now? So there is a machloikus between the Dain Weiss and the Chelkes Yankov, who says the following. They say the following svara. The disagreeing opinions. Dain Weiss holds, when Chesitzchok, Dain Weiss and Chekes Yankov Breish, they hold that the cast, I don't know if I fully understand it, but they say that the cast is bottled to your body. What do you mean, bottled to your body? It's
subjugated.
Yeah?
Secondary.
I like secondary. It's secondary to your body. Why? Because all idea why you've got it is in order to reshape the bones. And therefore, it's bottled to your body. I'm not sure I fully understand it, but based on that, what they say. So, assuming that it is bottled, so what does that mean?
It's like part of the body.
And therefore, and therefore, in terms of tefillin,
you can put it on top of the
car. You can put it on top of the car. So that's what they hold. Dan Rice says, person who's got broken arm, can put tefillin on top. Anybody? Tefillin on top. It's bottled to you. It's bottled to you. Yeah. Yeah. Others, of course, disagree. And they say, no, it's not bottle at all. It's a completely different, it's a different object. It's a different object. And the truth is, I also feel that it's not bottle to your body. It serves a purpose. Something which is bottled to your body is, You see, this serves a it serves a very positive, constructive purpose. It's not something. How can you say it's bottle? I mean, if it's bottle, why is it there? It's there for a very positive, constructive reason. But it's not, whatever. So many poskim can say that it's not bottle. And if it's not bottle, what's going to be the halacha? You can't put it on there. It's proper, solid chatzitza, and you can't put on tefillin there. Certainly, yeah. So we've got a bit of machlokes over here. I don't know. Perhaps you could argue that even according to those opinions, you've got the Rashba. Perhaps. But it seems to be not so poshut, because there's a distinction between the Rashba's case and the cast. Why would the Rashba perhaps allow filling on the in our seif, but not necessarily allow filling on the cast? Why?
Thin,
it says kova, it's exactly, it says kova dak. The cast is quite thick. So it's not, so maybe the Rashba won't even agree. But either way, this is the machlokes. Have you ever witnessed anybody who's got a broken arm? Put on tefillin? It can't, it happens,
only,
no?
Only the goyim.
Only the goyim. Only the goyim. Yeah.
What, have you seen them?
According to... According to the opinions that hold the cast is bottle, why does the Rama hold in the case of Shel Roish that you don't make a bracha? Okay, they're talking about something else, but they're talking about something, the koiva. They're calling this No, it's a good question. He's asking a valid point. Can you repeat the question? It's a good question.
You don't say the arm, why sit on the head? Is that the question?
No, the Ramah says that even in this particular case over here, of the Nazilah's case, of this person who needs a head covering because of the bandage case, the Ramah says, don't make a bracha. You can put it on, but don't make a bracha. Okay, so the question is, how can Dain Weiss and other boys can say when it comes to the cast on the arm that you can put it on and you can even say a bracha because it's bottled to the goof? It's a very good question. It's a really good question.
Maybe don't make a bracha on the cast.
Can we suggest?
Why would he say the cast no bracha and bandage yes bracha?
No,
he says no. Why would he say? He said that the Ramah would say no bracha on either. Maybe that's why it's more bottle. That could be. Maybe. It's a good question. I've always said it's a very good question. On Shabbos. If he needs it, then it's the third leg, the Shulchan Aruch says. It's a good question.
Tomorrow bring the answer. If not bring
the
answer, don't go.
It's a very good question. Rabbi Isai, say Vav, left-handed people. This Seif, I learned this Seif now with a completely different respect and different attitude than I did previous times. Because this is the discussion of a left-handed person with regards to tefillin. And to me, all the lefties, I was segregating all the lefties. Until one of my own, my second son is also lefty, and it's not so posh at all. It's not so posh at all, because you'll see soon why. Itayat yaminoi. Somebody who's left-handed. Itayat yaminoi. That's the real term. Somebody is left-handed. No, im oise kol melachtoi besmoiloi meniach besmoiloi sheimin kol odom. Okay, that part I'm totally fine with. Somebody is rigidly and consistently a left-handed person, he's going to put on fill in on the right hand. Who said he's lefty? Who said he's a lefty? Right. Okay. Now, the problem is that I have learned, when I looked into this episode a little bit, there's many, many lefties who are not pure lefties. Are you a pure lefty? Pure. You do everything with your left consistently? Not with the foot, but with your hand. You'll never touch your right hand. You'll never do anything with your right hand. Okay, because there is, I understand, there's a certain percentage of you're a bit like that. There is a lot of non-pure lefties. There's a lot of, I don't know what it is, and it would be something very interesting to research. Anybody can give me some material to read that'd be really interested to look into this. A lot of people, including my son, they're not pure lefties. They're not going to do everything with their left hands. They're going to do certain things with the left hand, but then others they're going to do with the right hand, such as, well, you know, he's going to, pardon? Yeah, sports in our family is not so well advanced, but for instance, weight, yeah. So he's gonna write with his left hand, but when it comes to heavy weights, a lot of things he's gonna be the right hand. Also, in terms of using his right hand, he's much quicker, he's much more able to write with his right hand than I can write with my left hand. He can do it. He once broke, for instance, and I know he's not. There's many lefties like that. That if he broke one of his fingers, and he was quite able to start writing for those weeks or months that he was in pain. He was able to write with his right hand, and a lot of lefties are like that. They're not pure lefties, and that's when it gets very, very tricky. And that's why there's a wealth of shilas and discussions in the poskim about lefties when they wear the tefillin on the right hand and when would they actually use the left hand. So there's a bit of an introduction over here in the Shulchan Aruch as follows. V'im sholi b'shtei yodov, if he's, what's the word for it? Somebody can use both hands equally.
Ambidextrous.
Then miniach b'smol kolodim, he's going to put on the left. You are like that? Then you put on the smol kolodim, you put on the left hand. You know somebody like that? There are people there who are equally left and right handed. What happens if he writes with his right hand? It's a bit smaller, but everything else is with that. Is that you?
No, I'm the
opposite. Ah, you saw it like that?
But everything's
right. That's mamash this case. He does everything with his left hand, right? He's going to take a. He's going to hold something, he's going to pull something, his muscles are far more developed with his left hand, but writing, he does with the right hand. Or, he writes with his left hand, but any other thing he's going to do with his right hand. So that's you. Right hand, but writing, punkt, he does with his left hand. Now, Yesh oimrim, some say, it's not straightforward. Some say that you use your weaker hand, where there's, because the pasuk means yad kehei. You got to use your weak hand for the tefillin. What's the weaker hand, if that's the case? To be in yad kehei, you got to have your weak hand. Yesh oimrim, some say, No, forget about weakness. It's got to do with the writing. It's the non-writing hand. You use the opposite of your writing hand. That's the minhag. So it remains a machlokes, and even within that, there's an ongoing machlokes in the mishpuyos and all the two tzadim. So it means that we've got really a machlokes with regard. So if somebody's completely left-handed, that's a pure lefty. Is that politically not correct to say that? I've got to be very careful. 2022. So somebody who does everything consistently with his left hand. Okay, he's going to use his right hand. But if there is somebody who either writes with his left, does everything with the right, or vice versa, then we've got a machlok is a poskim what to do. Should he put on tefillin with the weaker hand? Is the point the weaker hand, or is the point the non-writing hand? And that's a machlokes. And since it's very hard to know what to do. Because you want to get it to fill it, you want to get the filling right. There are more paskins that we go according to the non-writing hand. We go according to the non-writing hand. But Rambam says, you choose the non-writing hand. He says...
I mean, you put it on the hand that doesn't write.
Yeah. The non-writing hand.
If someone can't write?
If somebody can't write, no, what do you mean? What do you mean he can't write? Because, it doesn't have to be writing the alphabet. So the alphabet, if he picks up a pen, How is he? And he's going to make a line. The XXX that he's going to do. What hand is he going to choose? Yeah, so is it... Yeah, so yeah. Yeah, so it's either we go with Yad Kehei, or as the Mishabu explained earlier, Mishabu said, Ukshatem Ukshaftem, Machsibi, you mean, so, Makshir, as Mishabu's in Zivkot Na'alev. Yeah, so that's interesting, very interesting. I hear that. But I would
assess before we took a pick the pen up.
If a person, I hear what you're saying, and it's interesting, and there's definitely the element of that as well. But if somebody's a pure lefty that is really, really much more skilled to use his left hand, then eventually it's automatically going to go back to he's gonna start cutting with his left hand again. He's gonna write with his left hand again, and he's gonna try perhaps his right, but eventually it's gonna shift back to the. Absolutely, my grandmother always used to say she did everything with his left hand without writing. I don't know, I've mentioned that here. She was trained to use her right hand. I know, but I think nowadays every school and every classroom has got scissors for both lefties and righties, and there's pens and everything. And people normally are, you know, you can't really, you don't force. So what are you saying? That what? Yeah, but it comes by force. I think that naturally nowadays a child is going to develop with his right hand. And boys are not full. So what are you saying? What are you saying? What are you addressing? Which point are you addressing?
The
Rama. I know, but so you're right. So the poskim do mention that. You've got to make sure that if we're going according to the ksiva, that it's not a trained ksiva, but it's a natural ksiva. The poskim do point that out. You're right. Poskim mention that if we've got to be careful when you go according to the tzad of ksiva, that you've got to make sure that it's not a trained hand, but it's a natural hand that it would naturally use for that. Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, that's it for this evening. Well, we'll continue tomorrow, okay. Praise Hashem.